dan payaka, manakl anden gusaka.
This is Bronwyn with Radio IMCLA. Today we're going to hear from Ben Bagdikian, former reporter, Pulitzer Prize winner, and former dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California at Berkeley. Bagdikian says that private television and radio broadcasters have stolen the airwaves from us with the collusion of federal regulators who are supposed to regulate them in the public interest. Under U.S. law, the airwaves are a natural resource that is owned by the people, not the broadcasters. Bagdikian spoke in Pasadena on Friday, November 15, 2002, at Troop Memorial Unitarian Church. When his book, Media Monopoly, was first published in 1983, he was calling attention to an alarming trend, fewer and fewer companies controlling the mass media. At the time, only about 50 companies dominated TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, movies, and the internet. Today, there are only six, and they are giant transnational corporations so powerful that they, and not the public, are setting the agenda at the Federal Communications Commission. The good news is that many different groups are getting organized and fighting back against the media monopoly. The event Bagdikian spoke at was put together by the Democratic Media Legal Project, a joint project of the Unitarian Universalists for a Just Economic Community, and by the Cultural Environment Movement, working with attorneys from the National Lawyers Guild and the National Coalition of Concerned Legal Professionals in conjunction with the Media Alliance of San Francisco. Together, they are working to file a groundbreaking legal case to challenge the broadcasting monopoly. They are demanding that the people's airwaves be democratically managed with adequate financing of a larger public broadcasting sector in the public interest. You can find the project online at www.medialegalproject.org. Radio IMCLA is a joint project of the Los Angeles Independent Media Center and KIL Radio, and we're part of the anti-corporate media movement, too. We provide alternative sources of information and entertainment that you won't find on the corporate dial. The LA IMC can be found online at www.la.indymedia.org. That's la.indymedia.org. And KIL Radio is at www.kilradio.org. If you have an idea for a future show or would like to get involved, or if you'd just like to comment on this show, drop us a line at radioimcla@doityourself.com. And now, Ben Bagdikian will be introduced by Paul Sawyer, Executive Director of the Democratic Media Legal Project.
Ben is very illustrious. He goes way back to the journalism of the early days in Providence, Rhode Island, I believe you started your journalism career. And he later worked with the Washington Post. He was a significant player in getting the Pentagon Papers out and published. He won a Pulitzer Prize for his work as a journalist. And then wrote this book that came to my attention, The Media Monopoly, which is a very important work. It broke the ground, gave the information of just what the score was in the states. And I told them earlier that things have gotten far worse than when you wrote the book. He was the illustrious dean at the School of Journalism at the University of California at Berkeley, which is where I met him. And when I was a minister in Berkeley, invited him to speak at the Berkeley Fellowship. That same week, he was the cover story in the Berkeley, what do they call that little paper? The East Bay, whatever?
East Bay Express.
Yes. East Bay Express. And it was just very timely, of course, and the place was just packed. We have a wonderful audience here tonight. To have Ben here, and I'm going to just let you take over the podium.
Thank you.
Nice to have you.
Well, I, I am delighted to be here, and Southwest Airlines and I apologize for being late. Paul is right, we go back a long time, and that gives us a memory, as many of you have, of what broadcasting used to be and what has become of it. I think there's been a 40-year degradation of the nature of this system on which most Americans depend for their news, entertainment, and become an essential part of our political system. And what's happened is a brazen theft of public property of a magnitude that I think a lot of people don't comprehend. The airwaves, the frequencies over which radio stations and television stations operate belong to the American public. I mean, that's a matter of law. Those frequencies that stations have to use, the channel that you get when you push your remote, and that you get on your radio when you turn the dial, those channels belong not to the station that's broadcasting, not to the network, not to the advertisers. They belong to the American public by law, by you and by me. And what I think we've seen is a brazen theft for private interest of public property. I can give a small analogy. If there, for example, is a city that has only one playground for children and one community center that the townspeople acquired, paid for, taxpayers paid for all of that, and the city council decided that they would sign a contract to let developers put up condos. Well, I think that's a very small analogy of what's happened with our airwaves. They belong to us, and the government has now, in effect, turned it over to half a dozen or 10 global huge conglomerates, media conglomerates. And what's happened since then? You know, so is it just a matter of stolen property? No, it has, I think, affected the basic nature of American politics. You get not only shock jocks, whose own talent is largely a vocabulary of four-letter words, which most of us gave up when we passed the age of, let's say, 17 or 18, and also right-wing talk shows. And because the owners are now, within the United States, the majority of all media, as most of you know, newspapers, magazines, books, radio, television, movies, belong to six corporations. Viacom, Disney, General Electric, Bertelsmann, Murdoch, so forth. And organizations that are among the largest global firms are by nature not, you know, raging liberals. They're conservative. But I think that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that they have permitted this influential machine, our radio and television broadcasting system, to be turned in a somewhat subtle way and year by year into a conservative voice of the United States. And it has had a very real effect. And one of them, for example, was that there used to be from 1934, for about 50 years, part of our broadcast law called the Fairness Doctrine. And that meant that if someone, as you know, if someone attacked an individual or a group, and it was a serious matter, not frivolous, and it wasn't part of Saturday Night Live, which is parody and so forth, but was a serious, explicit kind of attack, the person or group attacked was entitled to have the same kind of time and place for a response. And that was the law for 50 years. And then they began a long, complex fight by the growing, powerful media companies to get rid of Fairness Doctrine. And you will be shocked when I say that corporate lobbyists sometimes lie. The National Association of Broadcasters said, look, the Fairness Doctrine is limiting our discussion of community affairs. Because if we have opposing sides talking about a community problem, someone for a measure, someone against it, or five people talking from different points of view, then it would be just too complicated. If you will permit the Fairness Doctrine, and it passed out in a series of moves and then endorsed by, accepted by the FCC, then we would have an increase in community discussions in every market. Fairness Doctrine died in the mid-80s. Ralph Nader did a careful study of what happened to civic discussion programs after the end of the Fairness Doctrine. And in the first 6 months, these people don't wait, they dropped 31%. They did not increase, they dropped. And so that there are examples after examples of that kind of slow encroachment on what is our property, and it is one of the most socializing, educating tools in the country. And people have asked me some point, well, so what? It's too bad that there are just so few big companies, but you know, that's what's happening in automobiles and so forth and so on. So what difference does it make? Well, when Disney bought ABC, and ABC is a big complex of radio stations, newspapers, television stations, cable systems, and other kinds of properties. There were afternoon talk shows that had seven leading talkers. The top was Rush Limbaugh. At that time, he had 23 million listeners, and he was he had more than anybody else. And then the next six had 1 million each. And one of those 1 million each was Jim Hightower. And Jim Hightower, as you know, is a very funny liberal. And to be a liberal who is on the media, you have to be very, very funny. You have to be Molly Ivins or Jim Hightower. So the week after Disney bought ABC, on Tuesday, Jim said in his afternoon talk show, my boss is now Mickey Mouse. He said, it's the first time I've ever worked for a real rodent. By Friday, he was off the air. And two editors of Los Angeles Magazine, which was part of the ABC complex that went to Disney, who, before Disney bought these magazines, had once run articles critical of Michael Eisner, the head of Disney, were immediately fired. And there was a sweep out of people who had offended either the boss or the corporation.